Thankful for your presence today. It's good to see everyone. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the subject of modesty. We say here Christian modesty, but it's modesty as God has revealed modesty to us. We want to restore shamefacedness and self-control in an age of extreme and excess. That is our age today. That regardless of what area of subject matter we might be talking about, it seems that we have given ourselves to extreme and to excess. That the concept of being content with such things as we have is not the mindset of many today. And as we live in a society that seems to celebrate excess and extreme, we need to understand that we are constantly being acclimated to that just by association. We need to be careful about that. We need to spend time with God's Word and His revelation and be formed in His image, not to the image of our culture. There are four myths that we might think about in regards to the subject of modesty. You know, whenever we start talking about modest, people have their think-sos and their opinions about all of these things. And myth number one is that modesty is Victorian. Well, you know, modesty was the style of the Victorian age or period here in the United States and even abroad. We've moved past that. We've moved into the modern age and the post-modern age. And so we don't have to be concerned about modesty anymore. Myth number two is that modesty is synonymous with being a prude. That if you're modest in the way that you act or talk or dress, that you think you're a little bit better than everybody else. No, that's not what modesty is about. Myth number three is that modesty is not natural. That if you're just left to yourself, that you wouldn't be modest. That everybody would be immodest if we didn't know any better, I guess we might say. And then myth number four is that modesty is for women only. And this is probably where maybe Christians get into problem more than any place else, is that when we start talking about modesty, we start thinking about, okay, the way women dress, you know, how short their dresses are, how low their necklines are, or so on and so forth. No, modesty is for all people, male and female. True modesty has its roots in the standard of godliness, that anything that God's Word addresses and teaches on, God teaches us the standard of it. And that's true with modesty. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, it says, "The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Sometimes this word covering is translated aprons. And you'll know that it went on to say that they hid themselves when they heard the voice of God in the garden, that they hid themselves from Him, for they knew that they were naked. Even after they had made these aprons, they knew that they were insufficient. In chapter 3 and verse 21 of Genesis, it says, "So for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothe them." The standard of modesty was the standard of this tunic, not the standard of the apron. The tunic was a garment that would cover one's shoulders and down below their knees. That's what God made and clothed them, and thereby they were no longer naked, but indeed modest. We're to be modest in things other than dress. We will get to dress in a few moments, but I'd like for us to think about the fact that we're to be modest in several different areas. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, we read, "I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Can you think of anyone who thinks of themselves as being very high, very important? They want to be thought of as being higher than others and more important than others, more authoritarian than others. Do you think of yourself that way? We are told not to think of ourselves highly. We are to think soberly. And in this context, that would mean that, you know, really, I'm just a person like everybody else. I have to eat and drink and all the other bodily functions that go along with it. I'm just a person, subject to the judgment of Almighty God. I'm going to think soberly about that. How am I going to stand before God on the day of judgment? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. As we think soberly about our lives, we should think about what we are instructed to do here. My brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any standard of excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, meditate on these things. Don't meditate on the standard of society and the culture and what is acceptable in our culture, but meditate on these standards of righteousness, of truth, those things that are noble, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We're to be modest in thought, and we're to be modest in our speech. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace or favor to the hearers." In chapter 5 of Ephesians, in verse 4, we read, "Let neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks." Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, favor, seasoned with salt, preservative, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Now, we have entered into an area politically and socially where this is not the norm of speech. That speech from both sides, and from all sides, we might say, is coarse. Maybe it's in, sometimes people say, "Well, I was just kidding, I was just jesting," but it's coarse jesting. It's coarse kidding. It's jesting for the sake of destroying the image of the one that they're speaking about. And we might say, "Well, that's just the way it is today. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way we're taught to be." And brethren, we need to be careful that even if we might agree with the one who is engaged in coarse jesting and trying to destroy the one that they are jesting against, that is not the way of the child of God. That's not the way of one who follows Christ. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for edification. And notice he says necessary edification. The child of God, the follower of Christ, needs to always be concerned about building others up, not tearing people down. Now, we need to certainly reprove and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, but we need to do so considering ourselves. We need to do so with kindness. We need to do so in looking to the fact of trying to save someone, not trying to destroy someone. Let neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, these things are not fitting. They might fit in society, they might fit in a culture, but they don't fit someone who claims to be a follower of Christ. Because Christ never engaged in that type of thing. Let your speech always be with grace. That means favor. You want what is best, even for your enemy. Seasoned with salt, preservative. You're trying to save, not destroy. This is how we ought to answer each one. I might say, well, it's quicker just to answer their insults and answer their lies and answer their attempts to destroy me. It's quicker for me to just answer them in the same way and destroy them. Okay, you might win the argument that way, but you're not going to win the soul. You're not going to win people to Christ. You're not going to let the image of Christ be seen in you. All that wins in that situation is evil. When you answer evil with evil in an evil way, evil wins. So be careful. We need to be modest in our conduct. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us that a bishop, an elder, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior. Not improper behavior, but of good behavior. Hospitable, apt to teach. An elder must be of good behavior. All Christians must be of good behavior when we consider the fact that we're going to stand before the throne of God in judgment. But to serve as an elder, certainly we must be of good behavior. In verse 8, he says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of money. Reverent. Their conduct of life is to be reverent, shows reverence for God. As we're told in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, revere God and keep His commandments. If we are reverent towards God and keeping His commandments, what will we be practicing? We'll be practicing good behavior. See how that works? Verse 11, he says of the wives of deacons, he says, likewise their wives must be reverent, not slanderers. They must be temperate, self-controlled, faithful in all things. In Titus chapter 2, in the first 8 verses, it says, as for you, speak these things which are proper for sound doctrine. That older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. That older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort young men to be sober-minded, in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine or teaching, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Our conduct as a Christian, whether old or young, male or female, is to be modest, appropriate for one who claims to be following Christ. Certainly, of course, we are to be modest in our dress also. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 8 through 11, he says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. What is modest apparel? Well, modest apparel is appropriate apparel. Apparel that is appropriate for one who is professing godliness. Sometimes people read this and they think, well, it says that we are not to adorn ourselves with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, as if it's a sin to wear such things or to adorn our things with such things. But we need to be alert to the several times that we find this ellipsis in Scripture, where it talks about not with, but with. And it means not only with, or not merely with. Modest apparel might include braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. There's an appropriate time for a woman to adorn herself in such ways. And there, of course, are inappropriate times for them to adorn themselves in such a way. But here's the thing, that sometimes women and men just get caught up in how they look, their style, their trademark, or whatever. Have you ever noticed on, if you ever watched like some of the one that's in my mind right now is Swamp People. Anybody here watch Swamp People? A few of you. Well, it's about, you know, these families that live in Louisiana and during alligator hunting season, and their 30-day alligator hunting season. And you always notice that each of the individuals, it's a reality show, but each of the individuals, regardless of which day of the month it is, they're always wearing the same clothes. That's their trademark. Sometimes, I think people start thinking of their trademark. You know, Johnny Cash had his, he was the Man in Black. You know, your different music stars and so forth. They've got their, especially in the country industry, their certain, whether it's a ball cap or a cowboy hat or whatever it might be, everybody's got their trademark. You need to understand that those things are not not in and of themselves wrong, but where's the emphasis? The emphasis is on the trademark. This is how I dress. And sometimes we can get caught up in, well, I need more jewelry, or I need more costly clothing, or I need more whatever it is. And he says, don't let your focus just simply be on these things, but more importantly, be sure that your apparel is that which is proper for, in this context, for a woman who professes godliness, that which is proper for a person who professes godliness. Very similar to that, We find in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the first six verses. You might want to get me a glass of water. This doesn't seem to be wanting to clear out. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the first six verses says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey in word, they may without the word may be won by the conduct of the wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied with fear." Chaste conduct, modest conduct, governed conduct. Chaste conduct is a conduct that your conduct is being dictated to you. You have given yourselves to the instruction of the one who has the authority. Thank you, Larry. The authority to tell us, in this case, how to dress, how to conduct our life. Your chaste conduct means your chaste manner of life. It would include your character. Not only how you dress and so forth, but your honesty, your submissiveness in this particular case. That as someone sees that you have submitted to the Lord and your change of character, that's going to make an impression on them. They observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Why did your conduct change? Because of your fear of God, because of your reverence for God. Revere God and keep His commandments. You have submitted yourself to that, and there's a change that has taken place in your life, and others can see that. And in this context, he's saying, your husband, wives, can see that. This would also be true of your wives will see this, husbands, you see. Or your fellow employees will see this. Your parents will see this. Your children will see this. You see, he's talking in a particular context, but the principle applies to every area of life. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Again, here's this ellipsis pattern that he says, do not let your adornment merely be outward. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. Certainly, our adornment is to be appropriate outwardly, but it is more, and it will be appropriate outwardly when the hidden person of the heart is right. When we've revered ourselves, revered God, and humbled ourselves before Him and said, Lord, how would you have me to dress? How would you have me to conduct my life? How would you have me to think and to speak? Then that will be displayed outwardly. How would you have me to dress? That will be displayed outwardly. As we continue to think about immodest apparel, we need to understand that immodest apparel can be expressed by gaudy, flashy, extravagant, dressing in such a way so as to call attention to oneself. Now, many times we talk about the fact that, well, they're just all gussied up, because they want to call attention to themselves. You don't have to get all gussied up in fine apparel to call attention to yourselves. You can start tattooing your body, or piercing your body, body piercings, those types of things. Wear not much clothing. Wear inappropriate clothing for the occasion. You know, it used to be a time that when we would talk about how should we dress for worship? And we would talk about the fact, well, we should dress in a reverent way. We should dress in a way that shows that our inward demeanor is being reflected in our outward demeanor. And we recognize that there are times that are appropriate for us to wear, not necessarily formal clothing, but respectable clothing. There used to be a time that we could say, how would you dress if you were going to a funeral? And everybody would say, yeah, we're to dress in a way that shows that a reverence for that occasion, and the fact that we respect the family and their feelings. And so for guys, we would wear a jacket and a tie. Ladies would wear dresses. And I don't know, someplace along the line, 20 years ago, I was asked to do a funeral for someone who wasn't a member of the church. The funeral home just called me and said, you know, would you do a funeral for this family? Their son was murdered, actually. And I said, sure. And guys, blue jeans and T-shirts, and the girls are blue jeans and shorts and halter tops. And I say, well, so much for dress the way you would for a funeral when you come to worship. Because we don't want you to come to worship dressed like that. It doesn't show reverence for God. Be serious about it. Be sober-minded. It's not about your trademark. It's about displaying that God teaches us how to dress appropriately for certain occasions. And when we dress inappropriately, we're saying, well, I'm going to dress the way I want to dress rather than the way God wants me to dress. We need to think serious about that. There's inattentive dressing. Sloppy, careless, indecent, disorderly. The word modest in and of itself means well arranged, seemly, not sloppy, not inappropriate. You know, if your clothes look like they've just come out of the hamper, run an iron over them. If, you know, guys, comb your hair. Not just for worship, but as you present yourself everywhere, every day, show that there is a respect for God within you and for the temple in which your spirit dwells. Certainly there's underdressing or nakedness, no clothes or little clothing or tight-fitting clothing or see-through, revealing clothing. You know, one of the popular styles today in women are these, you know, little short dresses, but over top of them they're just see-through. Not appropriate. Immodest. Why do we want to call attention to such things? I saw this recently and shared it on Facebook. I thought it pretty well says part of what needs to be said about modesty. Modesty isn't about hiding your body, it's about revealing your dignity. And that's true of females and males. Modesty is about revealing your dignity for God and you as His creation and as His redeemed one. It's about revealing your dignity and your attitude of dignity towards other human beings. The respectability that we are to have for ourselves and for others. Are you modest? Are you modest in your thought? What entertains you? What thoughts do you entertain? Do you think on those things that are good and lovely and pure? Your speech. What jokes do you like to hear and tell? And do you engage in gossip? You might know something, but do you have to tell everybody what you know about others? No. Your conduct. Is it the pattern of good works? Or is it conduct of, well, this is just the way everybody acts? Is your dress anywhere in public? Is it appropriate to the occasion? Does it display that of one who professes godliness? It's not about how everyone else is thinking or speaking or acting or dressing. It's about what's appropriate for one who's professing godliness and that which is becoming of one who walks in the light with Christ as He is in the light. Do you walk as He walks? Do you live as He lived? Do you talk as He talked? Do you have a reverence for God as He did? Do you have a love for others as He did? Will you lay down your will to do the Father's will in all things? Living modestly, appropriately, orderly. That's what our lesson is about. That's what living the life of a Christian is about. Are you following Christ? If not, why not? Why not dedicate your life to Him today and live for Him? Live the good life, an enjoyable life, a life that is full of hope, a reasonable hope, based on the promises of God's Word. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.